Luke chapter 12. We will start in verse 13. Luke 12, 13. Then one from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" So this is where Jesus is saying he's not going to get involved. But he's going to attack the spiritual weakness and not indulge this man's physical greed. In verse 15, so Jesus said to them, now this being the crowd, he's teaching this to everyone now. So this is a lesson for all of us, as well as all of them. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. So he's saying that this should not be our thrust in life, and this is not how we're going to be rewarded by how much we possess. And whoever has the most net wealth at the end of their life, there's nothing to win at the end. So, and unfortunately, among this theme of that these people and we today are majoring in minors and minoring in major things, this is another one of these concepts. Here, this is something that ultimately is worthless. And Jesus really expounds on this over the next 20 verses or so, 15 verses, that all of these earthly possessions come to an end. They're all going to decay, they're going to rot, they're going to rust, and come to nothing. But we all have a soul within our bodies that is going to live eternally. And Jesus was only concerned about that eternal soul because that is all that matters. And so that is what he's trying to get this man and this crowd to thinking about, just as he did with these Pharisees in the last chapter. So verse 16, and Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, okay, and this is this famous parable about the rich fool. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, one thing that I do want to reiterate that we got from over the last couple of weeks, that Kaufman, and I'm not remembering which verse that was in, but it's been over the last few weeks, about this word fool. And the definition that God and Jesus has for who a fool is. And it's consistent. This definition is consistent, again, in this place here. And Kaufman said it's consistent in every place. He gave us, I believe it was 7 times that God or Jesus called someone a fool. And every time it is someone who does not value their soul's salvation. And that goes with this man here. He is only interested in his physical well-being and being taken care of physically. And he is not thinking about his eternal soul. Now, McGarvey wrote 4 points about this parable that I thought were good. I got the most out of this time of all the times I've been reading. Well, McGarvey wrote what he called the fourfold gospel. So he wrote commentaries on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then he also did Acts. So these five books he wrote commentaries on. And here I've read what they have at least published on the internet. A lot of it, it just is a reference to see somewhere else that I never do go to look into that. So I haven't gotten much. But out of all that I've read out of these, we're going on 3.5 chapters so far. I mean, 3.5 books. This chapter here had the most of anything that I've gotten from him. So I thought we'll capitalize on this and get some of his good thoughts. So he had 4 points about this parable and about the rich man. The first one, he hoarded his goods instead of using them for his fellow man. He was thinking about, I have many goods for myself stored up, and there was no mention of, I'm going to help the poor, I'm going to help the handicapped, I'm going to help the widows, the orphans. None of that. It was, this is all mine. And now I don't have to work another day in my life. I have so much grain stored up for the rest of my life for my living. Okay, so that was fault number one. Number two, the ownership of goods deceived him into thinking that he owned time also. He thought he had many, many years into the future. And guess what? God said otherwise. You don't have many, many years into the future. You're tonight. You don't even have tomorrow. And really, multiple passages is taught in a lot by Jesus that we need to take advantage of today because we are not promised tomorrow. And there will be a time that we do not have a tomorrow. And who knows, it could be this time that we don't have a tomorrow. But there will be a tomorrow that does not come for us as individuals and as a collective. Okay, verse 3. This rich fool thought to satisfy the hunger of the soul with the food of the body. I thought that was an interesting statement. He tried to satisfy the soul, the hunger of the soul, with the food of the body. So, that is impossible. It takes spiritual food to feed the soul, and physical food will never, and with this physical food, this is earthly riches, and that will never satisfy the hunger of our spirit. Only God's word and righteousness and obedience is all that can satisfy the hunger of our soul. Okay, and fourthly, he said that this man thought that he was in total command of his soul, but he forgot that God was in command of his soul also. And that came, God laid that out, and I am taking over command of your soul tonight. One thought that I did get from Clark is this phrase, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He said that is a popular phrase and an ancient phrase from the atheist from way back. And now Clark lived in the 1700s, and he didn't say when, he just said ancient atheist. And so Jesus is obviously bringing in this concept of not putting up our treasures in physical things, and that is an atheist or an ungodly view. And there's a lot of things here that's very deep that would require lots and lots of study. And like Kaufman mentioned several parables ago that I passed this along, it's probably a month or two ago, that I like this thought. He said that Jesus' parables are not singular. They're not one thought. They are multifaceted. They're multidimensional. And there's more than one concept and several or many concepts that can be learned from these. These parables are so deep. And it'll take years and lifetimes of study to get a better grasp. Not that we would ever get the full grasp of what's going on. But anyway, I feel like that's definitely true with this parable also. We'll go ahead and continue here with verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor do they reap. They neither have a storehouse nor a barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" Now, previously in this chapter in verse 5, he referred to the same concept as the sparrows. That he's telling his disciples here that, reading between the lines, this is all about not worrying about our physical well-being. And he's letting them know, as he did before with the sparrows, that we're much more valuable, and they were much more valuable than the ravens. And they were going to be going through some perilous times. I think we can read through the lines that this is what he's telling. And for them not to be worrying about their basic physical needs. God is going to take care of them just as he takes care of the ravens and the sparrows. Okay. 25. "And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Now, this is the only verse that varies from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 6. And Jesus added this in addition to that. That we can't add any height to our stature by worrying. So it's a futile exercise and a worthless thing to do anyway. There is no benefit. And now, with our medical studies that have been performed, they found out that worrying decreases our immune system, makes us more sick, makes people more prone to cancer by decreasing the immune system. So there's lots of adverse effects to worrying. And, you know, like many of these concepts, this is easier said than done. This is not something that we can end immediately. This takes lots of thought, prayer, and study over time to get a handle on worry. And this is something that every human, definitely every Christian, will have issues with but needs to battle and work against. Verse 26. "If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these beautiful lilies." And we have seen God's creation. We're right in the springtime. And we see all these flowers and these blooms. And there is no articles of clothing that can match anything close to what God has provided. And these flowers didn't do anything. They didn't toil and spin the yarn and sew all of this. It didn't do anything. God just has this out of his creation. And Solomon, very likely, of what I've heard, the richest man that has ever lived. I've even heard estimates that in our modern day, with all the inflation, he could have been a trillionaire. But even he, that had the world's riches at his command, he had nothing. He could not pay spinsters and garment makers enough money to make anything that looked like these lilies. So, verse 28, "If then God so clothed the grass," and Kaufman said that this grass from the Greek word, it should have been flowers or herbs and not grass. So we're still talking about these beautiful blooms of these flowers. So if God so clothed these beautiful flowers, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So if God cares that much about these flowers that tomorrow are thrown in the oven, and I did not get a comment, I was disappointed. Not one of the three talked about this. So I don't know exactly what this is, except maybe that the flowers don't last long. They bloom for a short time and then they're gone. That's a possibility. Now, I don't know if people were putting these in the oven to try to eat them. I'm not sure. I don't know about this word oven. I wanted to, and I didn't try to look it up on my own, but I wanted to see what this word meant in the Greek. And also what I thought of is maybe this is a reference to judgment in the end of time. And since everything's going to be burned up, even these beautiful flowers will be burned up at the last day. But so I'm not sure. I didn't get an answer on that. Verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. So these basic necessities of what you will eat and what you will drink, don't worry about that. God knows that that is required to do the work in his kingdom. And that's what all this is building up to with this verse 31. So God's not going to let the workers that are diligently working in his kingdom to perish because they did not have any water or food. And verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things. And so this is very easily looking after that Jesus is talking about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. So those things will be added to you, the basic necessities of life for those who are seeking the kingdom first. First and foremost. Verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he's telling them, instead, provide for yourself a money bag that does not grow old, a spiritual money bag. So you store your spiritual treasures in a spiritual money bag, is his analogy here, instead of your physical treasures in a physical money bag that's going to grow old and it's going to rot. And then guess what? All your money is going to fall out of this money bag. But our spiritual gifts go into a spiritual money bag. And then the culmination of all of this line of thinking here, he ends with, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we put our treasures and our value on physical things, then that's all we're going to be thinking about and our driving force our whole life. The converse of that Jesus is wanting us to do, if we will put our treasures in spiritual life, on our soul, then that's what we will work on our whole life. And that is the concept that Jesus is trying to get across to them and to us today. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we'll start with verse 35 next week.